faith in the news media has been challenged, making it even harder to get stories told. The Friday Reporter podcast was created to help audiences better understand the media by hosting journalists who will answer the questions to which we need answers. Join me every Friday to hear more. Hello, hello, and thanks so much for joining me for another episode of the Friday Reporter podcast. Today's episode is, let's call it a palate cleanser, because let's face it, politics right now and all the other things we talk about are, they're way less fun than talking about music and the sounds of our youth. So today I am joined by my, oh my gosh, lifelong friend. Let's not tell anybody how long we've known each other. Dave Sandrowitz, who is the DJ and host of Gorgeous Dave's Radio Hour. And I can't wait to dive in. Dave Sandrowitz, hello, hello.
Hey, Lisa, how are you?
I'm great. And I'm so glad you decided to join me today, because I know, you know, you look at the roster of people I talk to, and yes, it is definitely very heavy political journalism. But we're also sitting here in Washington, D.C., which is one of the like birthplaces of tremendous and amazing music in the world. But let's go back a little bit. I mean, you and I both are kids of the FM 106.3 world, right? Long, long time ago, when it was our hometown radio show. And here you are today with this brand new show. I can't wait for you to tell me all about it, where you're literally recreating all of the sounds of our youth. And I absolutely love it.
Well, I'm trying. Look, that growing up by that radio station is a big part of the reason why I'm doing this, right? Because we all loved it. Absolutely. And it certainly informed my attitudes about music, about being like sort of almost more broadly, like just creative pursuits. Like, you can do it yourself. You can be different. You can push the boundaries. And it's made a massive difference sort of in my life, right? Not always professionally or, you know, in relationships per se, but just like the way I see the world. Mm-hmm. A part of that is because of the music that we got to hear. We were lucky, right? And to your point, DC has a great and rich musical history. But another one of the reasons I wanted to do the show is we don't really have anything like that here anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, HTG, which used to be a big deal, is gone. And there's just, you know, I miss having, look, you can stream online now, right? So there's lots of ways to sort of fill in the gaps. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this play, like around here, there's nothing like it, right? There's nothing like what we grew up with. HFS has been dead really for a long time, at least certainly what it used to be. And so, I don't know, I'm just trying to bring a little bit of that back.
I love that. So, So tell me about this fun t-shirt that you're wearing, okay? Because like is that the 20th anniversary? What year does that say? Is that 50th anniversary?
Yeah, it's 20th. Oh, so okay. It says 1974 to 1994.
Uh-huh.
I think, do you remember there was like a warm-up show, it, like before Lollapalooza back in the early 90s, and they had, it's like Blind Melon and the Posies. I don't remember the whole lineup, yeah. But it was in that tent before they really started calling it the summer stage and having a regular schedule. They did that thing behind the building.
It was by accident. Yeah. I was there for, it wasn't Lollapalooza. It was, there was another summer festival. I'll remember probably after we're done talking today, but there was
maybe
another
the Horde Tour. They used to do that too, I think, in Asbury.
Yeah. What was it called?
Like the Horde Tour. It was, Blues Traveler, Widespread Panic, a bunch of those more jam bandy kinds mm-hmm. of acts. Not quite Fish, right? Not like all the way to jam band, right. But you'd get like Dave Matthews and, you know, those kinds of groups were doing the Horde Festival.
Yeah. I think maybe that's what it was.
I don't remember if it was Horde Festival or Horde Tour. Maybe it was the Vans Warped Tour.
That's what it was. It was the Warped Tour. That was the one I went to. And that was also in a tent behind the pony. And now, of course, it's this beautiful soundstage that's like all set up like concert style. In fact, I don't know if I want to get back to Gorgeous Dave's Radio Hour here, but like, because we are nerding out on music all day here today on the Friday Reporter, we went to the pony, my husband and I, maybe about, I don't know, maybe 10 or 12 years ago to see the Black Crowes when they had that first, the new round of music, right? Like not the early stuff, but like they really were still making great music. They were still beating each other up behind the scenes, the brothers, but like it was really good. And you know, we were kind of like vibing and loving on the show. And then I said to my husband, I said, you got to turn away from the show for a second, because across the bar drinking a Corona Light was the boss himself, like just like you and me. You know, like
just hanging out,
not in the VIP section, you know, just like a bunch of us, the same old people, which is the coolest part about where we grew up. Cause like we do have the Stone Pony and we do have all these other great sort of, music opportunities. And so we were talking a little earlier about 106.3. Tell me a little bit about, so the show is just five shows deep. Is that right? Gorgeous.
Yeah. Days. I just did the, fifth show, 1 month anniversary this past Tuesday.
Okay.
It airs on Radio Fairfax, which is the public access station here in the county. Yeah, it's still early, trying to find my groove, but having fun.
Absolutely. Well, of course, and you'll find it. I mean, how do you come up with? So, first off, was there an approval you had to go through to get access to the? I'm thinking about this movie, and I'm going to forget the name of it, but it was Christian Slater had this
pump
sort
up
of
the volume.
Pump up. Thank you. Yes. Yep. Yes. Yes. Talk Hard. Right. And that's one of my favorite movies. I haven't seen it in years. Now I'm going to go watch it this weekend because it was so good, and it was like this access to radio and to music that people didn't have. And it feels a little bit like the story of 106.3 as we sort of reflect back on those old days. But so tell me, what's the process in order to get access or be able to host a show on public access?
So I certainly can't speak to what it's like sort of in a broad sense. Maybe it works differently at other stations here in Fairfax County. You have to do a few things. So first is you have to become a member of the station, right? Yeah. It's a $25 donation,
yeah,
not a big deal.
That makes sense.
Most of the funding for the station comes from cable access fees. So it's Fios, Cox Communications, Comcast. They pay because they want sort of the rights to basically to tunnel and to broadcast and all that stuff in the county. Those fees go to support things in the community. So, you know, like all the public access channel stations, but also radio stuff. Mm-hmm. So you have to then take a class, mm-hmm, right? You can't just show up and say, hey, I want to do a show. And then if they've got room, you could just barge in.
Yeah.
You have to go through and get trained on all the equipment, because being a public access channel, there is not a production team like a standard commercial radio station. Nobody's doing any of the work when I'm there. I have to do everything myself.
Oh, wow.
So you've got to know how to man the boards.
That's so cool.
And understand, look, here's the, you know, here's the there's a system called WaveCart, which is sort of, it's a sort of digital version of the old school cart system that was all of the ads and all the promos and the bumpers. You've got to understand how to use that. You've got to understand how to sort of manage the, what we call the mother, which is the automatic feed that kicks in whenever there isn't a live show or some sort of pre-recorded stuff on the schedule. Mm-hmm. You've got to figure out the mics and we've got a phone. I refuse to tell people about it because I don't feel like I'm ready to take live calls, but I could.
Holy cow.
So like all of that stuff is in front of you, and you've got to manage and you've got to stick to your time because there's shows before you and shows after. And sometimes that means there's a DJ coming in at, you know, 5:58, you've got to be done by 6, and sometimes not. And so you've got to go through the class, you get trained, then you've got to write a proposal, uh-huh, for what your show is.
Yeah.
And then wait for approval.
How long did that take?
Not that long.
Oh, it's really?
It was a 4-week class. So okay. Every Saturday morning for a month. And then we did the proposal on the last class. Mm-hmm. Like I was hot to get this thing moving. I really wanted to do it.
Yeah.
So the instructor was like, yeah, let's bang out the proposals. There was one other guy in class. Just the two of us just did them. We submitted them to the production team, and it took about 2 weeks. You've got to do some things, minor stuff, like pre-record a couple of shows in case you're sick or something happens and you don't show.
Okay.
And then they give you, you know, they sort of negotiate with you, like what time slot are you interested in? What audience are you trying to reach? And for me, it was pretty straightforward. I'm like, I'm trying to find Gen Xers and I want an evening show.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Oh my gosh. And so the time on Tuesdays is, what's the
time? Tuesdays, 6 p.m.
6 p.m.
Eastern Standard Time.
Eastern.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But because it streams on the internet, it's effectively a global show. Like I've got a cousin who lives in London who can listen to it. I've got a friend who lives in Madrid who's listened and assigned listening to the show as an extra credit assignment to his class of, I guess he teaches English to like Spanish kids.
Oh, no kidding.
Like in the suburbs outside the city. So sure. Yeah, so a couple of them listened and then wrote me emails to practice sort of their English writing skill and tell me what they thought of the music.
How
it was great.
Cool. Oh, that's super yeah. Cool. So how do you come up with, are you coming up with themes? Are you picking like a certain genre that you want to focus in on? Or is it just sort of stuff that's like got you excited that week? How does your production look like before you get to the show?
Yeah. So this last week, because it was the 1 month anniversary, I wanted to sort of celebrate it a little bit and decided to really just play music from basically college, right? Uh-huh. Just like it was just an hour of music from college. And I tried to do some deeper cuts, knowing that like my wife would be listening and friends would be listening. And so I wanted to like surprise people with things they hadn't heard in a long time.
Uh-huh.
But outside of that, I've thought a lot about, is there a style? Is there a template I want to follow? But mostly what happens is I listen to lots of music and the playlists sort of make themselves. I just dump like 30 tracks into a list of stuff that I'm digging that's popping up. Either I hear it on a radio station or it's something I've been listening to a lot lately. And then I just have to go back and sort of edit it down because I know I've got a control for time. Mm-hmm. So there's no way to, you can't play 30 songs in an hour, right? No. I'm getting, 13 to 16, depending on length.
Yeah. Okay. Sure.
Because I'm not talking a lot. You don't have big commercial breaks, right? So I can keep, it's 48 to 52 minutes mostly of music and a little bit of me sort of interspersed in there. But the only sort of thread across them so far, right, it's still early, has been I usually try to start off with something really sort of up-tempo and loud, right? So with a lot of guitars, it's often sort of punk or something like that.
Yeah.
And then the first few songs I'll play are similar in nature. Sometimes, it'll get a little political or there'll be a little bit of explicit content and I got to be careful with some of that stuff. And then as the show goes on, I'm trying to think of it like, oh, this is like a house party. We're going to start off hot and then we're going to cool down towards the end, right? Yeah. So I usually, like the last song I play is either, it's more folksy or more sort of slower, sort of pop kind of stuff just to chill out and let the next guy come
winding
in.
Down. Yeah.
Trying.
I love it. I totally love it. And like, in your real world, in your real life, your work is not, it's a different kind of creative, right? So this is really sort of for you, this is a very creative totally side of the world. Yeah.
Totally. I mean, what's great about this is like first of all, my kids love to tease me and say that this is like my midlife crisis, right? Okay. Like I didn't decide to, go find a mistress and do all the terrible things that people do or go blow money on some red Porsche.
Yeah.
Instead, I decided to sort of revisit my youth and get a radio show and sort of dive back into music and stuff. So it seems like a good pursuit. It's nothing like what I do day to day. I sort of wish I worked in a radio station all day, but that never happened for me. And it wasn't something I was looking to. Mm-hmm. There's always creative aspects, I think, in most careers, but nothing like this. Right. And I've spent my whole career mostly in tech in the private sector.
Right.
We talk about music, we play music, but sometimes I get to DJ at like some corporate event for two or 3 minutes as a like something to kick things off, but it's nothing like this.
Right. So. No, but I think that this is so fun. And so what if hosting a radio show or starting a podcast are our midlife crisis, then we're ahead of most of the rest of our counterparts and friends, right?
Agreed. It's the kids have been teasing it. So it's this. And then the other big thing is I got a drum set for the holidays and I've never played the drums.
I was going to say, you didn't play the drums growing up, did you?
No. I was in a band in college, but I was the lead singer. I was not playing an instrument.
Right.
And years ago, like everybody, I think you try to play guitar, you don't stick with it. So I didn't, but the drums have been a revelation. I love it.
How are you? I'm so curious about this. My son is just getting started playing the drums. Are they electronic? Are they traditional drum set? How are you learning?
Do you want to see it?
Yeah.
I'll just turn the camera.
Turn the camera. Yeah. Is it right next to you?
Yeah. It's here in my sort of office over the garage. Oh, you can't see because it's blurred. Hold on. I forgot I got the background thing because my office is a mess. I'm trying to repaint it. So there's like those blocks behind me. That's actually just paint slapped up on the wall.
Perfect.
Let me see if I can turn this off.
It's like all of our studios. Look, the podcast studio in Alexandria, Virginia is in my spare bedroom. So I've got a picture of Avon by the sea behind me. Oh yeah. Okay. So traditional.
And you can see the dog too. She's hanging out by the drums.
Absolutely.
So it's traditional. It's traditional because the desire was like, I want to make a freaking racket. Yeah. I want to be as loud as possible.
Yeah.
So when I practice, sometimes it, like, practice can be boring. I'm sure your son feels the same way. Like the basics of just you back and forth, building hand strength, you know, some of the simple sort of rudiments, as they call them. That stuff isn't super exciting, right? But on a regular basis, I'll put on some music, you know, the kind of music I play on the show, put on my headphones, and I don't really know all of the drum tracks for the songs, but I'll just hit everything as absolutely possibly physically as hard as I can.
Yeah.
And I'll open the window right by the drums and I hope I'm, you know, bothering all the neighbors. I'm trying to be like I'm 17.
Hey, listen, right? I mean, that's all right. That's so fun. So the one priority, like, I think about this now, you know, when my kids were really little, we used to play them a lot of music, different styles of music, right? To try to like expose them to music that wasn't like all their friends were listening to. And certainly my kids now are very much into the kinds of music that their friends are listening to. But my kids will surprise us all the time with something they're listening to that's new, cool, fresh. Because we made it a priority to expose them to like different sounds of music. Like my kids have been to concerts. They've seen the Foo Fighters. They've seen Fish. They've seen, I mean, a handful of others. I tried to beg them to go see Springsteen 2 weeks ago and they told me that they just don't listen to that old person music. So now I feel like like an antique myself. But did you do the same with your kids? Are they into music too? Is this, cause this 100%. Has been something that, yeah.
Yeah. I took both kids when they were probably, I think for both of them, it was around when they were 12. I took them to their first show at the 9:30 Club.
Oh, cool.
And they got to pick, we talked about it. It was great. They had a blast. My son, both kids just loved sort of being in the space and seeing a live band. We've taken them to see shows up at, you know, Merriweather, like Spoon and Foster the People and stuff during the summertime. Mm-hmm. My son is now a freshman in college. And so he's at art school. So he's really into like a lot of creative stuff. He likes a lot of things I do not like, not surprisingly. Mm-hmm. My daughter too, she's a total Swiftie, and we'll actually be up in Jersey for the Taylor Swift concert up at the Meadowlands. And I think it's like the Memorial Day weekend. So we'll be up there.
We're going to Philly. We're going to see it in Philly. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going. My wife is going to take her. So whatever. But yeah, we took the kids early. We took them to shows. We played a lot of music around the house the other day. And you know, I'm sure your kids have done this too. There's that moment when they're listening to something or they mention a band that it's something that we used to listen to.
Yeah.
Right. And so not just like Nirvana, because I know a lot of kids are, they wear the shirt or the Ramones or whatever. The other day I'm having a conversation with my son and he starts dropping My Bloody Valentine and the Cocteau Twins. And I was like,
wow,
I almost cried. I was so
That's
happy.
That's from the vault.
I know.
Love it.
He's into all this awesome old stuff.
Absolutely.
Our daughter's like, she likes Fleetwood Mac and a lot of like cool, I mean, but you know, commercially successful, but like cool stuff from like the 70s. My son loves all this weird stuff from the 80s and 90s. It makes me so happy.
Well, because there were just great bands. I mean, and right. Just great opportunities. Cause I think, like you said, there's so much streaming that you can really find yourself just sort of hooked into a genre and not really get sort of a broad range of the kinds of music that we used to listen to. And for the folks who don't know anything about FM 106.3, I'm going to link to that great piece that they did on the, I know you shared it on your Facebook page.
Oh yeah. The Asbury Park. Yep.
That was so fun to watch. And it gives you like a real flavor for the way that the station was. What was your first concert? What'd you see? Can you remember?
It's kind of embarrassing, but I'm, you know,
mine is too.
It is what it is. So my first concert, I'm not exactly sure what, I think it was probably like 86 ish. Mm-hmm. So I would have been 11 or 12 maybe when I went. My dad took my sister and I to the Garden State Arts Center to see Starship. The Outfield was the opening band.
Oh, hey, guess what? My first show was at Monmouth College, now called the Monmouth University, when I was in seventh grade, and it was the Outfield and the Hooters. So look at that. You and I saw the same band. That's hilarious.
That is amazing.
For our first show. My first real like stadium show, though, was Love and Rockets, the Pixies, and the Cure. The Cure was the headliner.
Was it up at the Meadowlands?
It was at Giant Stadium.
Yeah, I think my first big stadium show that I went to was I went to see U2 on the Zoo TV tour.
That was a great
tour. I think
tour.
It's like 92.
Yeah.
That was the first big stadium show I saw.
Yeah. Holy cow.
That was good. It was good.
It was so good. So have you gotten into any of the new venues that are here in the DC area?
So I don't go out to shows as much as I used to. I had an experience.
Me either. So,
I mean, I've been here since 98 in this area. So yeah. I've hit everything, right? Like the 930 Club a million times, the Black Cat, the Birchmere, Merriweather, you know, I've seen a lot of interesting stuff at like Wolf Trap, but like bigger names. Mm-hmm. So we've done a lot of that stuff. And we've also gone to some of the smaller venues like U Street Music Hall and the Rock and Roll Hotel and all that stuff. But I realized this is pre-pandemic, mm-hmm. but at some point, my wife and I went to see actually a band from Jersey, Pine Grove. Mm. They're from Morristown or Montclair, somewhere up that way.
Yeah.
They're great, great. But it's sort of like folky, sort of emo. We saw them at the Rock and Roll Hotel, and it was like 200 sweaty college kids and us.
Mm-hmm.
And like you couldn't move, and everybody's like swaying, and you get the elbow in the back and the like beer spill. And I was like, you know what?
Get off my lawn.
I think these days are behind me. And when we go, you know, every now and then we'll go see someone, you know, you go to Merriweather, I'm buying lawn tickets and just sitting in the,
absolutely.
You know, in the grass.
Bringing
it's
a picnic
chill, right?
And hanging. Yeah.
Yeah. If we go to the 930, I want to just be up in the balcony relaxing by like, you know, there's that bar up top and you could sort of like order food and just hang out on the ledge. And, like, and by 10:30, I'm heading home. Like I'm done.
I'm 5 foot tall. So when I go to 930 Club, I go to listen to music. I can't see anything.
Yeah. Unless you're right along the railings. You know, you're
I know
miss the whole thing.
That's the only place. Yeah. That's the only place. But there's a lot of new cool venues in DC. There's a lot of new cool venues. And the one thing, so I've had conversations now with a lot of friends of mine that are in the journalism space. One of them, Julie Mason, who hosts a couple of different shows on Sirius XM, POTUS, she said she moved to town because of the punk rock scene here. And she said she used to live around the corner from Bob Mould. And she used to talk to him about politics. I mean, DC is like really cool, neat town that has also a super rich, I mean, Foo Fighters, right? I mean, but also like, you know, you go back to all of the other amazing, I mean, long before those guys, I mean, we have so much history here in terms of music as well.
Yeah. There's, so we were talking about the sort of mini doc that they did on HGG. There's a really great documentary that came up like 7 or 8 years ago now called Salad Days, mm-hmm. which is all about, it's all about sort of the hardcore and punk scene here in DC from like late 70s through the 80s and early 90s. It focuses mostly on Discord, right? Because they're the big record label that was putting all that stuff out. And, you know, you've got all the bands like Minor Threat and Dag Nasty and, you know, Fugazi and like all these guys, right? But it's really cool because you see a lot of the acts, you see original sort of archival footage. They talk about how like, you know, some of the guys were working at like the Haagen-Dazs in Georgetown before they had real bands go. It's just awesome stuff.
I have to watch it.
It's really, really cool. Yeah.
The other one that, I don't know if you had a chance to, now I'm going to forget what the name of it. The Foo Fighters had an album out about 5-7 years ago, probably longer because COVID made everything so much further out. But they did a, it's not Lost Highway. I'm going to remember, but they did
Sonic Highways.
Thank you. Sonic Highways.
Yeah. Yep.
And that one also has a great episode on DC and DC music. It's obviously lots of cities, right? I mean, I love the whole series. But Sonic Highways did a real focus in on like Chuck Brown and some of the other like great sort of historical music folks that were here at DC long before even that scene was here. So music alone just in this town is so great.
Well, and it still is. There's a lot of really great stuff going on now. I don't go to the shows, right? Like what we just talked about, but there's a lot of really interesting acts still coming out of still sort of that hardcore, like post-hardcore scene in the city, but also just people moving here and doing interesting stuff.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
No, I totally agree. And I tried to get tickets for that new venue that's got about 450 seats.
The Atlantis?
I did. I got skunked on everything. I put in for a whole bunch of stuff and I got nothing. Super disappointed.
They had like 20,000 tickets total that were going to be available for that run of shows. And they had 500,000 people trying to get in the lottery. It's just Okay, so somebody got in. I don't know a soul who got a ticket.
Nobody I know that got in on it got tickets, but I'm looking forward to at some point, a couple of years down the road, maybe going to see a show there, because that's, I think, kind of the venue that, as you talk about sort of the big venues, going to the Rock and Roll Hotel or some of these other bigger spots, like maybe something smaller like that is actually, I'm not quite ready to sit in the back seats at the Birchmere because I'm not quite that old yet, but because I still want to like dance and sing. I did too. I
saw
I saw Pat Benatar there though. And like I sat right up front and I was, of course, she was fantastic. And she was there with her husband and those guys were like Nick Giraldo or Giraldo. And they were like just doing their thing and like having so much fun. And I was like, how are people sitting and watching Pat Benatar? I couldn't get into it.
Yeah. It's kind of nice to get like dinner in a show.
It is. As we age ourselves, as Gen Xers.
I know.
So new music. Is there any new music? Like you just hinted that there are a couple of new cool acts that are out. Is there anything new that you've been listening to that you could recommend to our listeners to like tune into or get into?
Sure. So I play a lot of newish music on the show, other than this past episode, right? Mm-hmm. And when I say newish, I mean it's come out in the past couple of years. It's not like brand new necessarily 2023 release type stuff. Right. Around here, some of the stuff that there's a guy, Barty Strange. Strange is his stage name, but Barty is actually his first name. He's not originally from here. I think he was born overseas and like grew up in Oklahoma, but he actually lives in DC. Mm-hmm. And he's put out a couple albums the past few years that are really great. And it's sort of hard to describe because it's, you know, it's got an indie streak to it. It's like sort of alt rocky, indie rock stuff, but there's a lot of hip hop sort of influence in it. And so, you know, you listen to a song of his and it feels like three different songs mashed together. I like it a lot.
That's cool.
Trying to think. And there's some other cool stuff around here. There's a band that hasn't even put out a real album yet. They've just got singles called Teen Mortgage that is like straight up hardcore. I dig them a lot. Mm-hmm. They've been doing some shows recently with another interesting punk band called, what is it? The Bobby Lees, I think. Yeah, I think they're the Bobby Lees. So I think I'm going to play them actually in the next episode. So there's some stuff around here like that. I also, I was trying to think like, who else have I really dug? Like the post-punk scene coming out of the UK. Oh, look, to be fair, if you don't like this kind of music, then all of my recommendations are terrible, right? Yeah. If you like sort of that slowcore stuff, you know, Phoebe Bridgers and all that. Okay. Then I'm probably not for you. Cause I like louder, faster stuff.
Absolutely.
But there's a lot of these interesting bands like the Viagra Boys, Sports Team, Idols over the past few years that have come out of the UK that are, you know, some of them are a little harder, some are a little bit sort of funnier or more ironic in their writing. But I like a lot of that kind of music these days. And I think, I should mention this. I was thinking about this earlier. So the one last thing I'll say, there's a band, I think they're going to end up pretty high on sort of best album of the year lists, at least sort of in the alternative scene, if you will. Mm-hmm. It's a band out of North Carolina called Wednesday. And they just released an album called Rat Saw God. It's three words. And it's awesome, but it's weird. And it's not really radio friendly. People are calling it sort of country gaze because there's these country elements to it, like Americana, sort of old school Uncle Tupelo sound.
Yeah.
But it's also really shoegazy, but heavy, right? So they really push the guitars and it's almost like sort of grungy at moments.
I love it.
And it's just great because it's different. Like it sounds sort of familiar, but it's different mm-hmm. when you listen to it. And they're writing this from a perspective of sort of middle-class kids that are running into all of this turmoil in the South, right? So there's a lot of talk of teenage pregnancy and sort of aimless suburbia and drug addiction and Narcan usage and stealing. And like, there's all this like sort of crime and sort of rot that they're sort of experiencing in their own lives growing up down there.
Yeah.
And it's coming out in the music in ways that you know, like you're not surprised by it, but you've not really quite heard before. Mm-hmm. So I might be wrong. I think they're going to end up on a lot of best of lists.
I love it. I love the predictions too, because let's face it, there's so many ways you can get music now that sometimes I feel like it's really hard to find that new cool something sound that maybe you could really get into. So I'm glad for and grateful for those recommendations. Tell me, before we get going here today, because we're coming up on 30 minutes, two questions for you. You've totally scratched the itch for me. Like, I always wanted to be a DJ, and I love that you're doing this, and we're going to do everything here on my show to make sure that you get all the attention you can, because you deserve it, and it's fun, and you know, the passion shines through. But I know that this is not your day job. So tell me, just in a couple of words, tell me what it is Dave Sandrowitz does in his regular time.
So I'm actually in the midst of a career change in that, like I said earlier, I've always worked in tech in the private sector, a lot of startups and done some investing stuff and things like that. But I wanted something different. But, you know, when you want something different, you've got to figure out, how do I take my old skills and apply them in a new space?
Absolutely.
So start date's a little bit murky because the hiring process or the not the post-hiring process can take a while. But in a couple of weeks, I'm joining the faculty at the University of Maryland to actually help run a program focused on sort of teaching scientists, postdocs, professors how to take all of the work that they do in the lab, all the federally funded research that they're engaged in, and look at ways to figure out if there's markets that we can commercialize some of that stuff and help them build businesses.
Oh, wow. That's terrific. That's cool.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That sounds great. Well, keep us posted, because I'm excited for you. I mean, because that sounds, I mean, that's a great, and it's a great transition from all the great experience that you've had over the course of your career. As we get to the end, Dave, I could talk for another hour about music and other things, and I'm super excited. First off, the irony of Gorgeous Dave's radio hour is not lost, right? Because you're joking that you have a face for radio, although you're a super handsome dude, and thank you for joining
me. Oh, that's nice of you to say.
Thanks for joining me on the tube. My YouTube followers are down to like, I mean, you know, I say this now, and then more people might listen because they want to know what Gorgeous Dave really looks like, but we don't, it's
not. You're not going to like blur it?
no, we're here in our t-shirts and our ponytails. Tell me who it is. Who should I talk to for a future episode of the show?
Yeah. So it's a little bit more, I think, in the sort of standard set of stuff that you've been doing, to be fair. But a friend of mine, Rob, is a former Washington Post journalist. He's covered the tech scene in the DC area for 25, 30 years or more. Now he's gone to all the shows out in Vegas, and I forget exactly, you know, what his mix of things is now. I'm sure he'll tell you more, but he's a wonderful guy, very, very warm and easy to get along with, very sort of sarcastic sense of humor. So naturally I like him.
Of course.
But he's been in journalism and technology for a long, long time. And he was always one of those guys in the early startup days when I got here that you really hoped would sort of write about you and talk to you.
Okay. Awesome.
So he's awesome.
I love that. Well, I'll check in with Rob and I'll make sure that I'll let him know that you nominated him for an episode. All right. So Gorgeous Dave's radio hour every Tuesday night, Fairfax Radio. Link will be in the link and the notes for the show. Radio Fairfax. We'll make sure that we share it with everybody. I'll be tuning in because I love it. And I'm so, so glad to see you and to have time with you today, Dave. Thanks.
Thanks, Lisa. You know, you should come on my show one of these days too.
I would love
to. You can even come in studio if you want.
I'd call in and make a, would you
please
play?
When I forget how to manage the phones,
It's going to have to be Veronica by Elvis Costello, because that's my favorite old school 106.3. Every time they played that, it was all the way up to 10 for me. Just loved that song.
Okay, now I know. All right.
Thanks again, Dave.
Thank you.
And there you have it, another episode of the Friday Reporter podcast in partnership with PR Daily and coming soon to a platform near you on Big Wig Podcasts. See you next week.